On? Okay. We're men. I'm not supposed to say this, but I love you, Andy. And I've learned to, Andy and I, we go way back. We played together. Bob played at SBU, and so football. Yes. But Andy, you were not short on character. So Bob's probably one of the best football players I've ever been around. So played free safety. But in these past months and stuff, I just learned to really appreciate you, brother, and I thank you for that. I'm kind of a little bit at loss today. Kind of reminds me of a story. You guys always like these. We get going on these stories, right? Guy went to heaven. He was a survivor of the 93 flood. He was going to get to testify in front of everybody in heaven. Man, he was excited what God's done for me. And St. Peter said, yep, you're right after Noah. So anyway, after that demonstration, brother, of the, you weren't here, but a few weeks ago I did a pipe and my daughter said, boy, Dad, that makes your illustration look really bad now. So I've been upstaged for sure. But what a great lesson, right? I won't go into the details, but I will tell you this. If in schools we would get back to, if we put a garden in every elementary school, you know how much better our kids would learn about photosynthesis, for example? We are not doing what we need to do with our kids. And that was a great, we can do it overseas, but we can't do it here. So, and I want you to know, in light of that today, I will be putting a blanket on my ground later today, but I can't keep the cattle from eating my blankets. I don't know what's, I keep telling, that's a blanket, leave the blanket alone, they keep eating it, I don't know what's going on. Anyway, today we're going to, before I get started, I want you to know, I just got on social media about a week ago, I've never been on it, and now I'm getting all this social media stuff. So do I have a trad wife or a trade wife? What's the term? Traditional, but it's a trad, okay? So my wife, she doesn't gossip about me on Facebook. She doesn't say bad things. She uses a roller pin. So this is what happened, I want you to know, on my head. She's traditional. So actually, neighbors had some issues with some cows, and I had one that came after me, and I turned around and went to go out, and he has a pipe welded over the top of that gate, and I'm not used to it. And pretty soon, I was having a revelation right there on the ground. Thank goodness I have a hard head. Well, anyway, let's start today. We want to talk about the preeminence of Christ. And I was writing notes last week, and I appreciate Andy as he brought the word to us last week. But I want to pray. If you have something that you want to pray for specifically, I'm going to ask you in just a second to stand once we bow our heads. A couple people are on my heart today. Mason's on my heart. I know he's in Arkansas looking. And Luke's on my heart today because I know he's got that wedding Thursday, right? And all of our men and women who serve, right? Because you never know. Even a transport plane that's supposed to be out of harm's way goes down, and we lose some people in that. So be in mind, be in prayer. In the mind of Christ, pray for people. But let's pray. If you will, I'm going to bow my head, close my eyes. If you have something that you would be willing to stand, the preeminent Christ stands exalted for us before God. He's seated there at the right hand, but we know that he stands up. As Stephen was martyred, Christ stands for us. I wonder if you'd stand for somebody today that needs an intervention by the Lord. Lord, you know what these are. Isn't it funny? We don't have to spend a lot of time on prayer requests because you already know. We act sometimes like we're informing you. All we need to do is praise you. And we praise you that you're the God that sees, you're the God that answers, you're the God, even sometimes when it takes months to get a surgery, as Brandy, testified last week, we don't always understand the process. But we understand who is the God of the process. And so we give you that. We praise you. Open your word to our hearts today. May you hear our cries to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, the preeminent Christ, his purview, I'm going to steal and go back on that word that Andy was used. Purview, does anybody remember what that was? Purview again? What is that? Purview. The realm, that's scope, right? It means, hey, what is the end of his scope of authority? There is no end. There's no beginning. There's no end. There's no limit. He has purview over everything. He is also preeminent. We're going to look at that today. So let's do a couple of things before we start, and then we're going to read the scripture in just a minute. But Andy reminded us of that spirit of authority last week. We're going to add preeminence. If you want to write these down, pre meaning before, you break that word down, eminence, to stand above, exalted. Christ stands above, exalted, before creation. If you will, the Trinity is there, preeminent, before there is anything else that happens. If you will, if we think about that, a view of him in the Holy Scriptures will do this for us. It's what Andy talked about last week, the invisible breath of God made visible through Jesus Christ as he came to earth. He is the firstborn, but he was not created. What does that mean? We'll try to get into that a little bit more. As I got notes from Andy and Dwayne today, Dwayne was insistent, you know, make sure you go over that again. Yes, Dwayne, I will, okay? Pick on Dwayne because he's not here. And Trina always avoids coming when I'm teaching, so I don't know why, but we'll see. Make sure you tell her that. But in God's scripture, God has every precept, what we are to do, and every prohibition, what we are not supposed to do for our own good. Contained in his word, if you will, is God's bearing of his own soul and mind. Everything about him is there. So, if you would, let's look at the scriptures today. If you want to stand, I think that's a great thing. You don't have to. We'll stand, though. We've started verse 18. I'll start reading. Let's follow along. God's holy word, Jesus, the word made flesh, the logos, the logic, the language of God, we read who he is. Starting in 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Amen. The Lord bless his word. You can be seated. So setting the context as we go back and we look at this, if you got your Bibles open, you flip back to verse 8. It's been weeks ago, but Paul says this, right? I pray for you continually because of what's in verse 8. What was there? He said, I know something about you. What's he know about them? They have the spirit of love. And he said, because of that, I'm praying for you in verse 9 that you understand God's want, God's will. What are the things that we talk all the time about prayer, you know, does God know what I want? We know this. The Lord will give us the desires of our heart if we are like David and we have a heart, right, for God. And so we need to know what his wants are. What is the will of God? What are his wants? Well, we know this from verse 9. He tells us, I want you to have wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to have the mind of Christ. One of my favorite chapters in the Word of God is Philippians 2, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? He did not consider himself God, but he stepped down from heaven. Wasn't created, he was always pre-existent. But he steps down, he manifests himself as a man, and he says, this is how we think and see. So Christ is the Word of God, and then we have the Holy Spirit, which is the interpreter of God's Word. So we see that we have wisdom, right, God's Word, and then we have spiritual understanding. So as we read, the Holy Spirit tells us. No one has secret knowledge on that. You don't need to go to some teacher. You don't need to go to some book. The Word of God is there for every person of God who will read it. Now, I want to give you something. I want you to take this, okay? It was interesting, the last song that we sang. We did not work on this, did we? Okay? Bless the Lord, my soul, right? What are we really praising in that song, right? I bless your holy. Okay, I want you to take that right now. We're going to get to it later. I want you to take that name. I want you to tuck that right inside. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Take God's name. What you know, names are very important to people. It's something I really struggle with as I've taught for years is making sure, because every year I have a new group of college kids. And it's hard because over the years, you know, I've had, I don't know how many Brians, right? I mean, it's just, and it just keeps, but God's name is important, the more we know about that. So you take that, you tuck it right there, and later on we get through this, I think you're going to see something that's very significant there. So anyway, the mind of Christ, we want to have that, and the Spirit that interprets. What does God want for himself? Who's in charge? 1 Thessalonians, if we just cut pieces out of that, right? Rejoice, pray, give, right? Thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will in Christ Jesus. We're in him, and he's in us. So if you look at that and you say, in all these circumstances, right? That's the outside. That's the pressures of life, the circumstances. In all those things, we can give thanks because of Christ Jesus who's inside the soul. We give thanks from the inside out, which keeps the pressure from crushing us, right? If I empty a soda can, I can just, well, I can't. Ryan probably can, right? Ryan, right? You smash one of those soda cans. If it's full of soda, can you smash it? As the Word of God fills us, the circumstances of life do not crush us. So in summation to point number one, there's 3 points today. Eternally interceding love of Christ. Fill your soul with that. To know his want, his will, his wisdom, and his spiritual understanding. May God bless us with that. Next, we look at knowing Christ. Point two, revealed in Scripture, to know his will, to know him preeminently standing before, above, and exalted from the beginning of time. Now, Andy kind of went into this last week, and he said, you know, this is kind of nerdy, and he went into the tilt of the earth and all that. I'm going to tell you something. We need that. Because we have dumbed down Scripture and God too much where we've lost the wonder. I mean, think about what he was teaching us last week. You live on a sphere that is spinning, that is tilted, that revolves from day unto night, and it doesn't miss a beat. What was it? Even 1 degree off would change all the climates. Right? As we pointed out today, if we didn't have dirt, think of that. 6 inches of dirt. If we didn't have water, water is unlike any other substance, right? It freezes from the top. There's just so many wonders. We need to be consumed again with God's wonder. And we don't need to be ashamed of that. It's beyond our comprehension. So God's purview is his sphere of authority. His preeminence is that he stands above. Okay? As we go on then with that, let's start reviewing. Let's go back to verse 10. Okay? Let's know God, right? We should be going not just a new teaching every week, but a continual teaching. Does that make sense? That's why I love working with these two guys, because every week we're just studying through this and somebody gets to hand the baton to the next week, okay? Well, verse 10, summarizing that, you look, right? What do you see? Here's what I see, that we should walk worthy. He's calling us, right? Think about what he's done. Walk worthy. He's preeminent. We ought to please him, know him, and bear fruit. Walk worthy, bear fruit. Verse 11, we're prepared in his power for joyful endurance. Joyful endurance. Children, if you remember this a few weeks ago, stand and demand, right? I want it, right? It's, we act childish, I should say. As we grow in Christ, we don't stand and demand anymore. We abide and reside. We're willing to live there, right? Don't you love that? Not when the child's tugging, you know, Daddy, I want, right? We know what that's like. But when the child stands and says, could I please? Who can turn that down? Bob, we were talking earlier about grandkids, right? You can't turn them down. Bob says, this is great, man. It's like vacation for a couple days, and then they go back, right? Not like raising your children. That's what God wants for us. You understand that? He's saying to us, just abide. Abide in my word. Let it abide in you. So we abide and reside. Okay, now we turn. Starting in verse 12, now what are we thankful for? Well, Dwayne taught, right, that we were alienated and hostile towards God. But now we are, you remember, qualified partakers. We couldn't be qualified. He qualified us, and now we partake with him. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back to it. 13, we were delivered from darkness. Okay? You ever been in a cave? One of my classes at I took it, this is terrible, I shouldn't admit this, but I had to get through earth science, and not as interested in the dirt maybe as you are, but I took the class because it was Jan term, it was 4 weeks, and they went caving. And I thought, well, that's fantastic. Got in there, though, and one of the demonstrations that Dr. Huser did at the time was he shut all the lights off. You cannot see in front of your face. You get disoriented. You don't know where to go. That's where we were. That's verse 13. We were in total darkness. We could not find our way out. Verse 14, we have redemption through his blood. Verse 15, the firstborn, right? Preeminent in eternity. And Jesus makes this statement in John 8:58. It's interesting because Kyle talked to me before he went up to Children's Church. They're finishing the I Am statements today up there. In 8:58, this is probably one of the most controversial things he ever said to the Jews. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He was not born. You understand? He was revealed in human form, but he always was. Before Abraham was, I am. He is Christ. He is the I am before. He stands exalted. Verses 16 and 17. All right, now we're going to start getting into a couple of things we're going to look at today. We started talking about creation. By the way, Bereshit Elohim. Isn't that just great to say? Think of that. I think Hebrew's probably the language of heaven. I don't know for sure. But there is something to it, isn't it? I wish I knew it better. But you think about that. We're there and there's nothing. And you open up Genesis 1:1 and a voice. There's no author. Bereshit Elohim. Just stand in that for a minute. Ex nihilo. Out of nothing, he spoke and the world came into. We need to be overwhelmed. He didn't take something and make something out. There was nothing except God. And there it was. In nihilo, out of nothing, the pre-existing Christ. Humans compose. We have to have things to put together. Elohim creates. And then, as Andy pointed out, Christ consists or holds the whole thing together. If not for him, we'd spin right off of that globe, right? Okay, can I get nerdy for a second? Okay, now listen, Andy, you put Dwayne and I together. Sorry, Dwayne. Andy's still smarter than both of us, okay? So we know that, but I'm going to try just a little bit here, okay? Matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed. We all learned that, right? Why? Because God's the creator, and someday he will be the destroyer and he will create again a new heaven and a new earth. But you think about that. He holds all of this. The enemy tried to use this in the garden against Eve. He said, you will not surely die. Was that true? In a sense. Because if energy does not disappear, right? The Greeks were so smart, but they thought, they struggled with that. They put wood together and they burned it and they thought it just transfers, right? When we die, do we disappear? We just transfer. You see that? We're not going to be destroyed. I know that's some people out there, I'm just going to go into nothing. No. Every human soul is going to reside somewhere for eternity, either with God or without God, because nothing disappears. God knew that we would not cease to exist, but Satan plays on that. You will not surely die. You're not going to whatever. Isn't it interesting? He took some truth. He hollowed it out. He stuffed it with a lie. You're right. Every human being will not surely die. We will reside somewhere. We died spiritually that day in the garden. And God has called us and said to us, I want to aliven that spirit so that then you can be awakened to me. I want to make that spirit come alive because you're dead in the spirit. How else do we know? Atoms don't cease to exist, do they? It's interesting, in Genesis 4:10, when God's talking to Cain, and Cain has killed his brother, and he makes this statement, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out from the ground. People don't cease to exist. People try to hide their sin, their action doesn't cease to exist. It's still there. That's the wonder of what God forgives. We were at Gettysburg a few years ago. My daughter at the time called it Spaghettisburg, but it's not. But of course, I love history. And so you walk around there, and it's one of those national parks they'll still let you walk around in. And you go down to the Devil's Den and the Bloody Angle. And then you go over to the Peach Field. And you think about the third day, these men are sitting there, and they're going to have to make this charge, Pickett's charge across this fence. And they got hours. And everybody knows that they cannot make it across that field. So what'd they do? They run away. They said, this is crazy. Pickett doesn't know. General Lee's crazy. It was a foolish charge. You know what they did? They sat down and they sewed their names into their coats so that when they were found, their families would know and be able to identify. We're all going to make that final charge someday. Are we sewing our names so that our family remembers? When you go to places like that, you can feel it. You can feel that, right? You go to Jerusalem. I've never been there. But they say when you walk those streets, you can walk that. Christ, the scripture tells us, he didn't sew his name in our coats, but he wrote our name on the palm of his hands. Can you imagine? From the beginning of eternity. We go on. After God creates, everything needed for the world has been provided. So the scripture goes on and reminds us, right? By him and for him, as Andy told us, all things consist or are held together. He's got the whole world in his hands, right? He is the beginning and the end. He's the start of time. He will be the end of time. He holds everything in together. He is spirit and truth, but yet, as we were reminded in verse 8, we have the spirit of love. He loves us that much. Contemplate and dwell and think about that for just a minute. Rest in Sabbath peace. Be still and know that he is Lord, that Jesus Christ is preeminent. We should be just overwhelmed. And as we sit there for just a minute and we think about his greatness, his magnificence, and yet he loved his bride enough to die for it. He loved us enough to die for us. He died for the bride because Christ loves the church. Abide and reside. Reverence the husband for just a moment. All right, let's go over to three. Third and last point. This one may take a little bit longer, but I hope as we go through, we're just letting this kind of preeminence wash over us, okay? When you have those moments in the day that seem mundane, remember, nothing in his creation is mundane. So let's prepare. Let's go back. Now those verses 18, 19, and 20 that we started with. The preeminent Christ, he's also the reconciler. He restores or calls back into union with him, his church. You see, somebody took what was rightfully his in the garden. He seeks his own. He is that prodigal's father who sits out there and waits every day praying, will the son come home? He redeems people who are in this way. Some have been stolen, right? Fooled by the enemy. Some have been alienated, like Eve. God, does God really love you? Does he really mean what he says? He just doesn't want you to have all the things. He doesn't want you to be like him. Some of us are, as we look at that, willing to leave him. You know what? You didn't give me what I want, I'll leave you. And then some, as we learn over in Romans 1:18, are hostile. We hate God. We shake our fist at him. And yet, in all of that, when we look at all those things, we have John 3:16. God so loved, even in the midst of all that. Okay, I'd like for you to write some words down if you can. We're going to go to, I think you have on your notes, he qualifies the partakers. Do you have that? Okay, so there's some terms here. I'm not sure. This is kind of the mess I end up with, okay? I write it out, and then I get in the bathtub and write. Michelle's like, you done yet? I'm just writing and going through, and I probably go through this 10 times, and then it's completely different by the time I get done with it. But anyway, if you have them, if you don't, I'd like you to write a few of these terms down. Light. You're going to see how these connect. Beginning. Alpha. Urim. U-R-I-M. You see, He is, can I use a movie analogy? I like Bourne Supremacy. I just, how does that guy go around doing all that stuff? Right? I think that, I thought about that today, and I thought, I don't know if that's really good, but I just threw it out anyway. So anyway, Christ is really the firstborn supremacy. He's the Alpha and Omega. It's by him and for him. He holds the beginning and the end together. We're going to come back to those terms, so just remember, he's the beginning, he's the end, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega. Secondly, he prepares those who will pray. He teaches us in his word how to pray. In fact, I think we just read his word. How do you pray? I just get the word out and start reading it. That can't be wrong, right? If, you know, you're probably better than me, but here's what happens to me. I start thinking, and pretty soon, I'm ADHD, I'm somewhere else, I'm thinking about somewhere else, right? And I can't concentrate because the world, the circumstances are closing in. And I got to get the soda can filled up so as I read the word, it expands back out. We pray through the word. So he prepares the prayers. He's sanctifying us through the word. A couple other words we have there is thunem. We're going to come back to that. T-H-U-M-M-I-N. So what does that mean? Well, I'm going to give you a picture in the Old Testament. I went back this week and I started going back through. I did not go to Leviticus, Andy. I heard your voice when I was there. But as I started going back, it's always kind of the temple and the size of it. And if you go to Hebrews, you know, that always kind of the connection kind of fascinated me. So I went back and I got one of those Bibles. You know, I keep it close because without the word, we don't know anything. But I got all these notes and stuff, and then I see, like, different colored pens, and I think, well, I wrote that at one time, and then I came back and I wrote that. Right, Don, are you with me? Right? And you go back and you wonder, what was going on in my life at that time? What was God teaching me? It's kind of a record of your life as you go through and go back. Some of you have journals, right? You go back and you see, what has God done? But anyway, contained in this idea is that the high priest used to put on the ephod and the breastplate, okay? And he would pray for the people. And one of the notes that I had, I think I'd forgotten this was, is he has this breastplate and it has these 12 stones for the 12 tribes. And then it has the Urim and the Thunem together, which represent Alpha Omega. But the priest then would take the names of God wrapped up in a parchment and he would stuff the names between the breastplate and the ephod. They would tuck the names of God right next to the heart. And then the high priest would go in to basically intercede for the people. You think about what Paul's doing, this picture that we have in this great book of Colossians. Okay? Now, he would put his hand on the Alpha, if you will, the Urim, and the Thunem, and he would walk in. And so what you read is, at that time, before the temple was destroyed, they would inquire of God, okay? And then on that breastplate was written this. Make sure I get back to my notes. On the breastplate was written, tribes of Yeshuan. Now that phrase, interestingly, contains all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And as he walked in, tradition says the letters would rearrange and give the answer of God. And behind the priest, outside the Holy of Holies, stood the king and the generals and all the people awaiting the answer. Now that was all lost when the temple was destroyed. Does that make you sad? We have something better. We have more than that today because he's told us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace in time of trouble. You see that? Jesus is now the high priest who loves us, and he says, come on in. And when we put our hands on the beginning and the end, we don't need a golden breastplate. We need the word of God. We put our hands on it. We pray and we seek him, and those words will reveal to us what God wants for us. And we will not be fooled. We don't need that. The priest had a type and a shadow of what was to come. We have the better, and we don't access it. Can you imagine the priest saying, you know, are we going to go to war? It doesn't matter. The king's saying, put on the breastplate, go in and fight. It doesn't matter. That's how we are when we throw the Bible over to the side, right? Why don't we access what we already have? We have access, think about this, that Moses didn't have in some ways, that maybe the high priest didn't have. that maybe even King David didn't have, or Solomon in all of his wisdom, because it's all right there. Think of the early believers. They didn't have the written word of God. And you think about people that suffered to translate that word and to get it printed. And yet, we throw it over, right? We got Bibles all over the place. They're sitting in our house. They're on the shelf. We got to open them, right? If we open them and put our hands on God, we'll answer. So, to go back to that then and kind of bring this around, okay? The light, you know that light that came on and we said? That is us when God justifies us in the Spirit. That's His first hand on that breastplate. As I look at that Urim, right? We've got the light. He justified us. The light is through the soul. The soul's awakened. And then that second part, right? That thunem, we have the sanctification of the Spirit by the Word of God coming through us. We have more than the high priest have. But we got to put our hands on it. We can't leave it just to sit there. So, what went again? What was in the folds again? God's name. See, they knew God. That scroll, right? If you've ever seen Jews on TV, traditional Jews, do you see they have the little parchments wrapped up and they wear them, right? That's the Shema that they wear, that they wrap, the Word of God. And Jesus said, you know what? The Word is so close to you. You're wearing it. It's even in your very mouth, and you don't know who I am. He would say to us today, the Word is so close to you. It's on your phones. It's on your shelf. Some of us, it's written in our house and our kitchens. It's right there. But you got to put your hands on it. You got to access the Word of God. The key, hold God's name sacred in our heart. Read His Word, and God will tell you what He wants in prayer. All right, let's go back again. I'm going to read this again. You don't have to stand this time. I think I've got it in your notes in bold, okay? Let's start with verse 18 again, okay? And He, right, Christ, is the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. It's what He was from the beginning. All we're doing is recognizing who He is. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So let's go back again to those couple of thoughts there. He's the beginning, the head of the body, the firstborn, the author, the finisher of our faith. Isn't that what we hear, right? Author and finisher, you've heard, right? He's the Alpha, He's the Urim, He's the Omega, He's the Thunem. We think about that. He said, don't worry about it. I'm your high priest. I'll do the details. You inquire of me. You don't have to have a breastplate. You have to walk into the Holy Holies. You don't have to interpret. You got to read the Word and trust me, I'm the author and finisher of your faith. So when you have surgery, when you got things in your life, we all have these, right? We trust Him that He's there. He's the author and finisher. He's the beginning and the end. We have peace with God through the blood of God, because He authored the requirement from the beginning. Think about that. Why did Christ have to die? We always, our quick answer is, because I sinned. No. Think of this. He had to die because He stood there in and of Himself as the Trinity from the very beginning, and He said, this is how it will be. There's nobody, there's nothing. And He says, I will give myself. God just fulfills His own requirements. What kind of God is that? Who says the penalty of sin is death? There is no forgiveness without the remission of sin. And then He takes off that judge's robe and He walks over and He says, and I'll be the one to pay the price. He does everything. I hope it overwhelms us today to think about that, His preeminence. He is the fullness of God, if you will. Think about that. John 17, He says, I and the Father am one. Jesus is the complete fulfillment. He is Jesus, Lord Christ, God Almighty. 20, let's go through that one again. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him I say whether they are things in earth or things in heaven. What's to reconcile? The word means to call back to union. Eve, you left me, but I'm bringing you back. Adam, you left me, but I'm bringing you back. He brings back his sheep. Reconciliation, he restores what was his from the beginning. It's his church by him, through his blood, on the cross, reconciled to himself. And then personally, I might just say this, and Andy's here, we'll test, Christ is the head of Wellspring. Nobody else. That's it. And he was from the beginning. He's always been the head of Wellspring. He left his glory to walk the path of humanity to reconcile us to himself. He has preeminence in all things, but we must be believers. We got to be the believers who access what he has given to us. Only God can do this. Okay, do we have 5 minutes? I was going to cut some of this. I thought, if we got enough, I want to do something. Okay, kind of nerdy a little bit. Okay, what's that? You like it. Okay, all right. Well, we'll see. You have to look out, right? If the class is going to sleep, it's time to cut. I have 45 minutes, hour and a half, and three-hour classes. I can tell you, the three-hour night class, the poor things, they have a hard time, okay? All right. Think of this. He is preeminent. Let's go back through that again. Pre-meaning, before. What's eminent mean? Exalted. Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. As we lift him up and recognize his preeminence, what's going to happen? See, we have all these tools you read about, church plants and how do people. If Christ is lifted up, what's going to happen? Our answer to prayer is right there in the Word. We don't have to strategize and do. We just have to lift him up. He is the firstborn, in a sense, in humanity, but he was preeminent. Again, Bereshit Elohim, the lamb that was slain from the beginning, okay? So I want you to just think about that for just a minute. What are the things that we covered today? We know that we ought to take God's name. We ought to consider it holy. We ought to tuck it right there. We know that as we are sanctified, we ought to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We know that we ought to recognize him as the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning of the end. That he holds all things in his hands, as Andy taught us last week, by him all things consist. It's the reason that our lives don't spin out of control, because he's holding those things together. He is the beginning of time. He is the end of time. He is the creator of time. Without him, there is no time. And the time to be reconciled is now. So the only question that remains is this. Jesus is not created. He was revealed. Bereshit Elohim, the beginning, the Lord, the firstborn. Are you following after him as the firstborn? Are you a follower of Christ? Is he calling you today? Is he calling friends of yours today outside of this body, right? Who is he calling you to say, go, right? Blessed are the feet of those who share the good news, right? Sometimes it's in word. Sometimes it's in deed, like when you take dirt and you teach people how to plant. That's real Christianity, right? When you help somebody fix something. When you go to their house, they got a flat tire. Even when you help a neighbor get a cow in and you about knock yourself silly, right? You know that neighbor, he's promised me. So if you think about it, pray. He's told me he's going to come to church one of these days. So we'll see, okay? I want us to hold on and take that name and tuck it deep into our hearts. I want us to inquire of the Lord by holding on to the Word of God, allowing the Spirit of God to wash over us. Let's pray. Father, the only thing that we do is forthtell what you have already stated. We don't come up with anything new. All that Dwayne and Andy and I are trying to do is say, here, let us take for you. We right now reside in a world where Paul says that we look through a glass dimly lit. It's a little bit clouded. We're trying to take the Windex and wipe that window clean so we can see you clearly. But yet each one of us has to take that responsibility. Sunday is the day we honor you because you rose from the dead. But it's also just the beginning, just as you are the beginning. It begins the week. May we go throughout the week being reminded of your preeminence. May we live our lives in that kind of a way. We love you, we praise you, and we bless you in Jesus' name.